Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for attending this presentation. My name is Arun Jani, and I'm a graduate student at the University of Florida. And today I'd like to present some of the work that we've done on peanut residue decomposition and nitrogen mineralization as a function of residue load size and tillage practices. And just to back up a minute to give a little bit of background on this topic, peanuts are a critical cash crop in the southeastern United States, as many of you probably know. And there are nitrogen credit recommendations that states throughout the region supply for peanut growers to contribute toward their subsequent crops. And you can see in the table here that we've listed a few of those states and some of those recommendations. So we have a high of 50 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen credit from Virginia, then on the lower end in Florida, where we recommend 20 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare to subsequent crops. Now, the problem that we have is that a lot of these recommendations, we don't know when these studies were conducted to determine these recommendations. We don't know where they were conducted within the state. We don't know what the tillage practices were, the environmental conditions and such, all of which can influence nitrogen mineralization from peanut residues. And adding to that fact, there's been surprisingly few studies, in situ studies, on peanut residue decomposition and nitrogen mineralization. So we're hoping in this study, this is part of a larger project in which we here want to characterize nitrogen mineralization from these residues, as I mentioned, under different tillage practices and residue load sizes. And something about peanut, which some of you who aren't familiar with peanut might not know, but the harvesting process of peanut is unique compared to many other crops. So the first step in peanut harvest involves digging up the peanut and placing the peanut in windrows. And the peanut is allowed to dry for 2, 3, maybe 4 days before the farmer comes out and actually combines the crop. And that's what we can see in this picture on the right is our study location in Citra, Florida, where we see this past October a peanut harvest going on. And what this does is this actually creates an uneven distribution of peanut residue in the field when the crop is harvested. And the thought being with that is if we have an uneven distribution of residue in the field following harvest due to the harvesting process, we might also have an uneven distribution of nitrogen in the field for subsequent crops. So we might have pockets of fertility and then pockets of lower nitrogen pools for those crops. And previous research has shown that with cereals, I cite a paper by Steiner here at the bottom, that decomposition and nitrogen mineralization rate constants can depend on residue load size. So with cereals like barley and with winter wheat, it's been shown that lower, not surprisingly, lower residue loads decompose and mineralize nitrogen faster than larger loads. And in these cases, I don't have the numbers next to the letters next to the K values, but the loading rates of 270 for both barley, or 270 for barley and the lower loading rate of 350 for wheat, both had significantly higher K values or decomposition rate constants compared to those higher loads. So what we want to do is calculate those values for peanut, determine if residue load size due to the uneven distribution of residue in the field after peanut harvest will affect nitrogen mineralization. So as I just mentioned, our primary objective here was to quantify nitrogen mineralization from the peanut residue as a function of load size and conservation and conventional tillage practices, both used in the region. And the study was conducted in Citra, Florida, at the Plant Science Research and Education Unit, which is the University of Florida farm. And we conducted the study over a 365-day period, but today I'm just going to be presenting some of the data up to day 224 because we don't have all of our data analyzed at the present. And you can see the soil that we used is a relatively infertile one. It was a loamy sand, and 88% sand was actually on the farm. We actually have upwards of 98% sand at many of those sites, which isn't unusual for Florida peanut production. You can see a very low cation exchange capacity, minimal organic matter. So this is a relatively infertile soil, yet one that peanuts often grown on. And in terms of our experimental design, we use a split plot design. Our whole plot factor was tillage, and we had three tillage levels. We had a no-till, then we had fall tillage, which occurred immediately after peanut harvest, and then we had a spring tillage, which simulated essentially a farmer tilling in the spring in preparation of planting a crop like corn or maybe cotton or one of those crops. And then we had four residue loads. At the lower end, we had 2.2 megagrams per hectare, and then at the higher end, 7.5 megagrams per hectare. And one thing I really want to point out here to make clear is that those, the third and the fourth level of the residue load factor on a per hectare basis are not what you would see for peanut. Normally, you're going to get probably 4 to 5 megagrams per hectare of residue, but these higher end loads were based on quadrat measurements from some of those higher, those larger piles where residue accumulated. So just keep that in mind. And we used a litter bag methodology. So we took loading, we used this loading rate and filled our litter bags, and we placed them in the field on the surface or buried. So no-till would be on the surface. Fall tillage, they were buried. And then in spring tillage, they were left on the surface but then buried in the spring to simulate spring tillage. And then we had several collection dates throughout that 365-day period. Then in terms of litter bag collection, we collected the litter bags at these times. We analyzed them for carbon and nitrogen content. As many of you know who've done litter bag studies, soil contamination can increase through time as the residue decomposes. So we corrected for that using combustion by a muffle furnace. And you can see hardly any residue remained for some of these treatments by the photo here, which also had a high sand content. This is the final collection date, that picture is. And in terms of analysis, we used the R statistical software for all analyses. Replication was treated as a random effect. All other factors were fixed effects. We used a series of libraries from R. And we then used SigmaPlot to fit exponential decay models, single and double exponential decay models, to find the best fit. And these are our results. So we found that there was a significant time times tillage interaction on both decomposition and nitrogen mineralization, which probably doesn't surprise anybody. The literature abounds with examples of buried residue decomposing faster than surface residue, and we saw that earlier with some of these presentations. Importantly, though, we did not find a residue load, or interestingly, we didn't find a residue load times-time interaction, but we did see that the main effect of residue load was significant in terms of its impact on decomposition and nitrogen mineralization, and we found no higher-order interactions. And in terms of the model fit, we actually found that a single exponential model best described decomposition based on lowest mean square error values, which is different than some of the literature, which oftentimes shows double exponential decay models providing the better fit. And then this table that we have here, I provided this, but this is, again, just preliminary data. We haven't statistically analyzed this, but I just wanted to give you an indication of some of the K values, which would be on K value per day, the rate constant values for both mass remaining and nitrogen remaining over time. And you can, again, they haven't been analyzed, but you can clearly see that it looks as if the fall tillage treatments have higher K values, which would be expected. And we'll be interested to see when we do the analyses how those higher residue loads, if they had higher rate constants, even without that significant time times load interaction. So it'll be interesting to see what those results show us. Then here's some of the decomposition data that we had from the study. So again, the time times tillage interaction showed that surface residue or no-till residue decomposed much slower than fall buried residue, which was fall tillage residue. And then if you look at the black line, what's interesting, or probably not all that surprising to people, is that the spring tillage treatment, basically when the residue was finally buried in spring, you saw a large increase in the rate of residue decomposition, which isn't all that surprising. And then the same data, but for nitrogen. So we have our nitrogen mineralization data, and we have our fall tilled or buried residue in the fall under conventional fall tillage, of course, releasing nitrogen faster than that applied on the surface under a no-till scenario. And again, we see the same general occurrence happen with the residue from the spring. Once it's buried, it starts decomposing much faster, or releasing nitrogen in this case, much faster. So then what we did is we took some of this data and we measured, of course, how much nitrogen was mineralized during this time period, and we applied it to a winter wheat crop just to get an indication of how much nitrogen would be released during that time period. And we found that basically between 7 and 36, the range is, 7 and 36 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare were mineralized during that time period, and again with, of course, not surprisingly, the higher loads released more nitrogen. But again, remember to keep in mind that these higher load sizes represent pockets of fertility in the field. The more likely scenario for peanut production in the southeast would be that 2.2 to 4.4 megagrams per hectare biomass production. So probably 7 to 31 kilograms is a more likely scenario of nitrogen mineralized during that time period. And moving on to just our general conclusions from this study, of course, were that the incorporated residue decomposed and released nitrogen faster than the residue applied on the surface. We didn't find evidence for that residue load times time interaction, which we were expecting, and we didn't find any of those higher order interactions as well. And our study, it quantified nitrogen mineralization during a subsequent wheat crop, but one future area that we're looking to explore is how much is actually planting a crop following the peanut and being able to determine the actual nitrogen credit. So this study, in many ways, is a preliminary study for future studies involving planting a subsequent crop. So we currently have experiments in the works, not only on those sandy soils in North Florida, but also along the panhandle and on sandy loams, heavier soils, more representative of conditions maybe in Mississippi or Alabama, where we also, of course, have peanut production. So that's where we're moving now. This picture is one of the studies we're doing now where we have the peanut juxtaposed to cotton, and we're comparing nitrogen credits to subsequent wheat crops. And I'd like to acknowledge the staff at the Plant Science and Research and Education Unit in Citra, Florida, for all of their help with management of this experiment. James Foley of the University of Florida Statistical Consulting Unit for all of his assistance, and especially the Heather Enlow and Don Lucas. I don't have their names listed here, but they were collaborators and authors on this presentation, and they provide a lot of help with management on the field. So thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Yeah, so I don't have that. I didn't report that data, but what we found for the data that we collected is it was between 25 and 30, so 30 to 1. And that was all collected, that was determined from residue that was collected about, I want to say, 5 to 7 days after the crop had been harvested, so it had given a little bit of time to mineralize.